session number 14788, Rule 3.
Mr. Parker, Rule 3. We're talking about your time at Rugby, late 39. And the next thing is you started to get ready to go overseas. Sort of two sides, various sides of this. One of them is the inoculations, vaccinations, whatever they were. What do you remember of that?
Very painful. TAB. And
what's TAB?
Well, that's probably a technical term for tetanus and something else, eh? Because they said, oh, you're going to have your TAB. I always remember TAB. I went up to Lincoln. They was got a one and threepenny dinner, three course dinner, one and threepence, eh? And a sweet, all in for one threepence. He was always asking me, when are you going overseas? When are you going overseas? And we said, we don't know. But this particular time, this Saturday we done up, they say, well, you're going overseas, because everybody was going, oh, wash my arm, wash my arm. Because when you had a jab, you couldn't lift your arm. If anybody bumped it, they say, give us a lift off the coat, kid. Yeah. Everybody's walking about like that.
Their arms sort of half bent.
So they knew that they were going overseas. Said, you've had your jab.
How long did that last for, the stiffness?
About a week.
That long?
Yeah.
Did you have complications, or was that just everybody?
Well, one or two people had, you know, sort of arms come up, you know, like balloons. And
but you didn't?
No.
The other thing is embarkation leave. Did you get that?
No. Didn't know what it meant.
So, anything else? Do you remember there was a big march past Rolleston, who was the old colonel from the Boer War, the honorary colonel? Do you remember that?
No. So I know leaving Rugby Station.
Tell me about that then.
Well, it was early morning. We were debating. All the lads had worked out a system of telling people where they go to, you see, overseas, because they check all your mail. And they'd had sort of, we should be in Polonia Square or some kind of, you know, different. And that they sent it home. And they said, if we mentioned Napoleon Square, there's a place called Napoleon Square where I live, and they'd say, well, I'll go to Napoleon Square, and that was Cyprus or China or Egypt or whatever, or Palestine, as it happened to be. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, I was, you know, sort of on the train, and in those days you brum 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 brum, and of course that is knocking to sleep. And I said, where are we going to then? I said, oh, I'm going somewhere. And I opened my eyes in the morning and I looked out and said, I know where we're going to now, Southampton. Because the place before Southampton, there was a big Stones Bitter. You're in Stones Bitter country now. And that was the town before Southampton. The train went straight in onto the docks. And we all sort of then barked, well, you know, we're off. And there's MPs and all kinds of things. And said, Southampton! Yeah, and these big doors open. Oh, crikey, what's this? And there was a ship, and they marched up the old gangplank, and that was it. We're on board.
Why were the MPs there?
Well, they're watching people skiving off, or you know, doing a bunk.
How did you feel about that? Did that cause any?
Not to me, no. I wanted to get overseas. I wanted to get cracking.
So what do you remember of the crossing? Leaving England.
Oh, it was terrible. Well, nobody knew what was happening. And they started playing cards, and some people had got... we were in a little ballroom on the ship. And, of course, our beds were on the floor. But other people had got cabins, sometimes two and three to a cabin, and they were playing cards. And somebody said, fall in! And somebody said, can't fall in yet, it's a kitty, got a big kitty. The play cards. I mean, officers and sergeants and sergeant majors, nobody sort of took notice. And anyway, he said, fall in. And they fell in this ballroom, and that was the first fag issue, cigarette issue. I always remember it was a 50 tin of Gold Flake. And in those days, if you've got a tin of Gold Flake, you're a kingpin, you're a, you know, moneyed man. And there was a tin where you had a, the foil underneath had to be cut. There was a little thing on the top, like a little knife. And you turned the top like that, and it cut the foil off. And your cigarettes were 50 cigarettes, the big ones, fat ones, added smoke. So my pal said, "Fags?" And I gave him 50 fags. Every time it was a fag issue, he got my 50 fags.
Did he give you anything in return?
No, only a smile. And being friends, I mean, you don't charge them, do you? Yeah.
So that was your first fag. Anything else about the voyage? You said, was it rough weather? This is across to Cherbourg, wasn't it?
Yeah, Cherbourg, yeah.
Was it rough weather?
Yeah, yeah. I thought so, no, I mean.
Were many seasick?
Well, I wouldn't say seasick, because most of the people were playing cards, and when you're inside and playing cards and you've got a kiddie, you haven't got time to be sick.
What game would you play?
Eh?
What game did you play?
Kukan, solo. Kukan.
What's Kukan?
Well, don't you play cards, do
I? I play some cards. I've not heard of Kukan.
Well, some people don't call it Kukan. I mean, I don't know, might be another name in a different county, but you have a hand of cards and you have 13 cards, and you have what they call a floater in that card, and you have to make runs up, either flushes or ace, king, queen, jack. Now, if you've got ace, king, queen, or no, say ace, king, jack, and you haven't got the queen, in your mind, you can call that a floater. So eventually, when it comes to handing you, putting your hand down, you say, "Here you are, I'm up. Ace, king, floater, jack." So that's floaters. And people sometimes can't understand it. In different parts of the country, they call it a different name. But 13 cards, I mean, you can make a run of four, run of three, but you can't make a run of two. Unless you've got a floater. Again, you see, 9, 10, jack. 8, 9, 10. So that floater's all, it's in your mind. It's not in your hand, it's in your mind. And yeah, you have a kitty, half a crown, or, you know, in those days, I mean, half a crown from, say, five blows or six blows was a good kitty.
So you wouldn't lose much, but you could win a fair amount?
Oh, yes, you've got a kitty, haven't you?
Did they play shoot? They used to play shoot in Tobruk. I just wonder whether they'd started playing that then.
No, no. I can't remember shoot, no. Mm.
Now, so what about landing in France? I mean, you'd only seen the sea a bit before for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
What
yeah.
did you think of landing in Cherbourg? What do you remember of it?
I remember the band played, I was not sure. And it was, there was brasses on the or braids, as whether they were on the quayside, because it was terribly cold. And all the French blokes, they'd muffled up, they got big scarves and big... And they were old blokes, they weren't young blokes. And we got two kit bags apiece. So imagine coming down in army boots. I mean, I was about an 8 stone weakling. Two kit bags and army boots and the band playing, you know. That was my first impression of landing in France. Coming down the gangplank with a band playing. That was our signature, Colonel Bogey.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's the regimental...
Yeah, Colonel Bogey. Yeah. Played us off.
So what happened when you got off? Were you standing around for a while?
Yeah, yeah.
How long? I mean, was it a long time? Some of them were moaned about it.
Well, an hour, I think. An hour and a half.
Now, some of them went into town, officially or unofficially. Did you go into town? I think they were allowed to go if they had an NCO with them.
No, it's queer saying went into town unofficially or unofficially. What I remember, there was a street, and there was one, two, three, four streets. On three streets there was MPs, so they were guarding that, so you could. And the fourth street, there's nobody there. So you walk down the fourth street. So that was an official. And the MPs were on one, two, three streets. They went into town. And always remember buying a bag of chips into town. About tuppence. Or francs in there.
Chips.
In a little carton, yeah, sort of.
But not French cooking.
No. Well, it might have been French fire, I don't know. But who chipped to us.
And what did you do? What you did? How many were there with you?
I think it was about four of us.
Do you remember
Cherry Turner.
What was Turner's first name?
Clarence. But nobody knew his name was Clarence. Clarence Roy. C.R. Turner. Everybody knew him as Cheddar.
Cheddar. And what did you do?
Well, two or three of them went to find the, talking about being in France, like, to find the brothels. And some people were a bit naive, like, I mean, same as say, I mean, the age was 17, 18, 19. And either a beer or, you know. Went in one place and there was a lady at the bottom of the stairs selling these balloons, you see. And a bloke being naive thought it was a... He says, are the different colours like? This is true. And he said, I like a blue one. And this madam at the bottom was a bit astounded that a bloke should ask for a condom, yeah. Or a French letter, as they call it. He wanted a blue one.
So he didn't realise there were condoms?
No.
So did many of them get drunk, or did you get drunk?
I don't think I did, no, because, I mean, I'm not a beer man. I mean, I might have been drunk a few times, but not... I didn't on that occasion, no.
And then back to this thing, and what's next? You moved off to the station, I think. Do you remember much about the station and the train journey? Because the history makes a big fuss of the train journey. Said it was awful.
Well, down to Marseille's? Oh,
what do you remember of it?
Well, I remember because the thing I remember is we got a posh sort of carriage, and the back of the you're sitting on a seat like this, and the carriage seat was sort of big like that, and we found that pulled out and made beds, and of course we were well like that. There was one bloke on the bottom, one on the top, and all the kit bags we put in the centre of the... and made beds on there. And there was no water on the train at all. You just had to brew from the train. And the food was terrible because there were no real facilities for cooking. And for 2 days we never got out the... Willie Pringle came and said... Your lads ought to come down and do a bit of exercising. So, oh, we're bloody cold. So we're stopping here. So we didn't move for 2 days. It was a big journey right down to Marseille.
What do you remember of Marseille?
Not a lot.
Were you straight on the ship then?
Yeah, I had a bath with sea soap. Have you heard of sea soap?
I've heard of it, but I'm not quite sure. What was it, any good?
Well, you have a special soap for salt water, you see. And the issue with that is you're on board. So first thing you did when you had a shower. You all see so.
So what were your billets like on billets? What was it like on the... It was the Devonshire, wasn't it?
Devonshire, yeah.
What was it like on the Devonshire?
Well, I found it all right.
Were you crowded?
Well, I mean, we didn't know what crowding was those days. I mean, you know... I mean, there's crowds wherever you go with soldiers, isn't there? And
how did you manage with hammocks? Did you, or were you one of the ones who got hammocks?
We were, but I didn't come to terms with my hammock at all.
Why not?
I couldn't sleep in a hammock. I just put mine on the gangway. So
what was wrong with it then? I mean, why couldn't you sleep?
I couldn't. Well, some people can't. I mean, I've heard sailors said they can't sleep in hammocks, so... Yeah.
Did you have any... I mean, what was the food like aboard there?
Well, comparing with the army, it was champion. It was four-star, not five-star. I mean, it was nice and clean, well-prepared, well-served. You had a bloke in charge, you know, mess duties, so-and-so. I always remember stowing hammocks. That was the job.
How did you do that?
Well, you stow the hammocks down at the bottom of the ship with a screw and a propeller gun.
Oh, you had to take them right down?
Oh, yeah. Every day. And you're on duty, I mean, you say, you're on so-and-so, you're on so-and-so.
What sort of duties would you have?
Or stowing hammocks, or cleaning up the mess tables. Because you see, your hammocks were over your tables. And you had to pull them down each day and stow them, get them out of the way. And down there, all the bilge and that, terrible.
You felt sick?
Each time. So I only did it once, and I used to go into the library and hide.
Did you feel, were many men sick, or were you sick, or seasick?
I was seasick,
How badly?
Well, not sort of violently, but it's all queasy, you know.
You said there was a library. Well, could you use that then?
Oh, yeah.
And do you remember they had a couple of cases of meningitis on ship? Do you remember that?
Oh, that's queer, that was, meningitis. One battery had got meningitis and we hadn't. And they had a rope across the ship. And they'd got it and we hadn't. And the blokes were saying, give us a light, mate. I would over this rope. And this boat's got meningitis and you haven't. And eventually, we lost one of our blokes, Sergeant Smedley. He died of meningitis.
Mm. Now, what do you remember about arriving? You arrived at Haifa, I think. What do you remember about? France had been abroad, but this was a lot more abroad.
Mm. Haifa.
What were your first impressions of Palestine?
Well, the first thing I remember about arriving there was we took horses with us because we were in the first cavalry division. Actually, I was horse at Rugby at Scampton. I was on a equestrian course there.
Right, we'll drop it. Let's just do that first then. What happened on the equestrian course? Why were you picked for it?
Well, I put my name down for the motor course. I wanted to be a driver. And but said, hey, you're on orders, though. Said 9 o'clock tomorrow. So I said, oh, mate, I never checked the board. With him saying, I thought it was a motor course. And of course, I ride on parade in the overalls, and I don't know who the sergeant major like. I said, you didn't properly dress. I said, well, I've got my tunic on, and I've got my overalls here. He said, you're on an equestrian course. He says, nip back and get changed. Put your riders on, but don't bring your spurs. Because you see, you're not a horseman yet. And I had to nip back and put me riders on. I was on a question course. That's why I say we took 50 horses with us. And I'm so about the last one that was on that course.
What do you remember about the course? What was it? How did they go about training you?
Well, we went down to the place. It was one of the colonels of the 1st Cavalry Division. It was his estate. I don't know his name, but it was his estate. And we were trained there. We fetched the horses from Malton. You know, Malton's just out. And effects of, and there were all kinds of things. There was remounts and race horses, and ones that had been ponies for children. Some were 18 and some were 17, some were down there, some were up here. And I got one 17 hands high. So if you know what 17 hands is, sort of
big.
Mine was a big one. Again, being a waif and stray, less than 8 stone, army boots on, take size 9. It was frosty, and trying to get on a horse, have you tried to do that with a size 9 shoe on? Get your foot in the stirrup, and get over the top. And the horse seems about as wide as that to me. To get my leg over. And when we arrived there, I said, we'll learn how to put a blanket on, surf signal and all that kind of thing. And he went through all that kind of palaver. And then checked this sort of girth and all that kind of thing. And I said to the bloke, am I all right? He said, let's have him here. Oh, he says, no. He said, if you get on there, he said, you'll fall off. He said, you're not tight enough. They're all girth, see. And he got this horse, and he's kneeing it in the tummy, so the horse would go like that and pull its stomach, and he was tightening the girth. I said, I've had the right of this horse when you've finished. And it stood against me in the stall, and I couldn't get out. It was lying on me. And I'm shouting, I'm stuck. He said, oh, you'll be all right. I said, don't worry. He said, let it out gradually. He said, I'll push it off for it. And he does the same thing again. Yeah. So, of course, the old horse, then he backs it out. Said, now, come on, get on. He took me down to a field and he said, now, I'll show you how to get on, and then you do it after me. So, okay. After about four goes, I managed to get on. And then there's 12 of us on the course, 4 out of 4 to 6 and 4 out of 4 to 5. And we had a big line like that. And they said, now, we're going to tell you how to sort your horse, like a motor car, you know. He said, and then I want you to... Now, when I say walk march, number one will start off, and two, three, and I happen to be 6 of 4 to 5, so I was a 6 horse. So, to get into line, I got to turn my horse sort of that way. You can imagine that. He's gone straight off, and he's more or less gone straight off, and he's... But I've had to sort of turn that way.
To the right.
When I tried to turn it, started and didn't stop. Went across the field, finished up almost in the next field. So that was my first, you know, sort of day in the saddle.
And how did you progress with it?
Well, I think after 6 weeks we were past the sort of A1, but I don't think we were really A1. I mean.
How far did they teach? I mean, did they go as far as... I mean, they used to take them as far as riding without bare back and things.
No.
This was just simple stuff.
Just simply sort of getting a horse and saddling it and getting it on the park, and that's about as near as we went.
Did they teach you how to groom horses?
Oh, yeah. How was that? Exhausted, that was. You had 2 hands for a comb and the old brush.
Just tiring.
Tiring, So, if you're a big, well muscled bloke, I suppose it wouldn't be too bad, but not with me.
Did you like horses?
No.
Why not?
I wanted to be a driver.
So, it was more that you wanted to be a driver than you didn't
like?
Now, that's gone back, but now we get back to you arriving at Haifa, and you were saying you had the horses with you.
Yeah.
And were you on them? I mean, were you...
We weren't, no, ourselves, no. The horseholders were in charge then.
And what about, what did you think of Palestine when you got ashore?
Well, eventually, I mean, it's an ideal place. I mean, temperature was, you know, spot on, and we've got decent village, so it's all right.
Now, the first camp was half completed. That's Sarafan.
Sarafan,
29th of January.
That's a big one, isn't it? Big camp.
What do you remember your time at Sarafan? You were there 2 weeks or so. Might not remember.
Yeah, well, very new to us. I mean, you can't see a lot in a fortnight, can you? I mean, so.
The next move was they went down to Gadira.
Oh, Gadira, I remember Gadira.
And they actually built that from scratch. The key party, may had done it.
Yeah.
What do you remember of Gadira camp?
Is it on there?
Yeah, you got there February the 10th.
Gadira. Well, I thought it was a nice little place, and the only thing was there was a lot of mosquitoes there, and I found out that when they sort of colonised the place, there was a lot of marshes down there, and they couldn't really colonise it because there were too many mosquitoes to get in there, and they imported a lot of eucalyptus trees from Australia. Apparently eucalyptus trees want a lot of water, and they drained the water, you know, sort of, not artificially, I mean, with the trees. And the first night when the lads went on guard duty, they came off and looked like, you know, aliens, because they're all bitten with mosquitoes. And there's still a few there, obviously. But...
Did you have any anti-malaria precautions?
Oh, no.
Not at that time?
No.
And what were the tents like? What was the setup like at Gadira?
Well, just after we'd got there, what's the name that came into war? The Ayatollahs. and they started bombing us. So this is first camp. We finished up almost on the seashore, and they opened the camp up. So we were almost on the seashore from there.
So you thought that they might bomb you?
Yeah. So they dispersed the camp.
And what were you actually doing while you were at Kadira?
Oh, next to nothing.
No signal training then?
Well, you just prayed and that was about it. Probably an hour and...
Were you trying to get onto driving still? Any chance of a driving course?
No.
Now the next move was up to Hadera. And while you were there, the guns arrived. What do you remember of Hadera?
Hadera, not a lot, no.
There was a big sports day there, you know, or you might just remember it as being in Palestine, and a boxing match and all that sort of thing. Were you involved in any of that?
Oh, no, I went to see a boxing match.
Who was that? What do you remember?
A bloke called Foley, Tommy Foley. He was a professional boxer in Civil Street. And we were all cheering him. He was a champion in that sort of tournament.
And anything about Hadera at all that you were doing? Or do you not remember Hadera very
well? No, not a lot, no.
So Asludge, they went to do a firing camp at Asludge, which you might remember it's been very hot.
I know Beersheba.
Beersheba, Asludge, same thing.
Beersheba, yeah.
What do you remember of that camp?
I got put on a charge for being not having a shave.
Who by?
One of the officers, I can't remember his name, but...
What had happened? Had you had a shave, or what had happened?
Well, again, being signallers, I mean, you're all over the place. I mean, you have to run wires out and run wires in about 3 days, and it's terribly hot, and... Well, I mean, the sand is like talcum powder. And, of course, you're sweaty, and it sort of sticks on your face, and if you've got a bit of a beard showing through, and... Like Santa Claus, I mean, they say you have to shave, Parker. I say, no bloody time, that's why.
Would you swear? I mean, you wouldn't. Would you swear in real life at him?
Oh, yeah, if you felt like it. I mean, if you were sort of under duress, I mean, under pressure, I mean, you'd, you know.
And they wouldn't mind?
Well, I mean, some would, some wouldn't. Probably William Pringle might.
And what, he put you on a charge, then?
Well, he said he was going to, but he never did. Because he hadn't got much sand, you know.
Now, how you'd be running out, they did some firing there, you'd be running out signal wiring.
Oh, signal wiring.
What equipment did you have at that stage?
Well, the same sort of stuff. No sort of improvement on, you know, on the old...
The hand one?
Yeah.
Anything else about you? Did you get any chance to do any driving out there?
No.
And the Australians were there. Do you remember anything about them? They were training as well.
Oh no, I remember it, but not Asludge. No.
And while they were there, Paulson died of appendicitis. Were you aware of that, or did you know Paulson?
No. What sort of rank?
Gunner
Paulson. No.
Now, they went back to Hadera, and the main thing was getting ready for going up into the desert because you know the Italians had joined in. What do you remember of that? The getting ready process. I mean, how would that involve you signallers, if at all?
No, not a lot. I mean, we'd probably do a normal training, that's it. Our normal training was probably half an hour, dot, 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 and a couple of times on the old number one machine.
Did you get to go swimming at all? Well, I mean, both camps were quite near the sea. Did you swim?
I swam at one place and then I got drowned, so I didn't go in again.
Where was that?